no job would be. What does he use when he starts experiencing spirits talking to him and influencing him? And what does he use for his job would be? Do you remember?
The
human body. Use of the body, which is amazing, Paul. Because he hasn't got a map yet. So he goes, oh, these are affecting me here. So I've got to feel that they're there in some form. And he realizes that he's tapping into the map of the grand man. Do you know what he talks about that? But later, and this is what interests me, if you keep reading through the 20-odd years of spiritual diary, by book four, he changes in this. In the very first, you read the first spiritual diary, and honestly, it must be very scary. Because the memory and the experience are totally now no longer held in the physical. And so the experience is one of confluence. We're breathing together. It's like if you sit with someone for long enough, whatever's inside them in their lungs that they've breathed will come out and you'll breathe it in. It's almost invisible, unless you're a smoker and you don't smoke. And then you go, oh, that's come in. And you can put up a contact boundary against it. Swedenborg, in his first spiritual experiences, kept going from confluence to contact, confluence to contact. And so did the spirits, because they hadn't experienced this before either. We don't think about his experience. We don't tend to think about what that's like for them. When you read about it, they're going, what's going on here, you know? Hey, can you talk to people for me, please? And can I look through your eyes? And one guy lets him go all the way through the city to find out where he used to live and the street he was in, looking through his eyes. And as he says in the book, you know, at first, this was, the heavens were gone. Here's a guy looking, that's all going to look. But after a while, he says, it's normal now. This bridge has been made between the two realities, which is the recreation of the most ancient church way of being in the world. It's really amazing concept, isn't it? That then for him, by book four of Spiritual Diary, if anyone's looking, he actually now starts to see maps and draw maps of what the land was like. My sense of that is, and this is where memory becomes important, when he talks about interior and exterior memory, and as he said, some of the spirits get indignant when they know they've got an exterior memory, like who they are, but they're not really allowed to access it most of the time. There are times when they do, and he does. It's not that you can't, it's just, is it going to be of any use? And I mean, at first, my challenge with him, this is, I thought it was going to be just me again. But if it's me and just the experience, it's like I've become demented. I've lost my memory. You know? I don't want that. These are the things that I'm attached to. It's a bit of a temptation. Because I love my memory. I love my physical reality. I love the people I love. But our Lord doesn't let us suffer for too much. He eventually shows you it's there if you want it. But basically, why would you want it? You know? It's like, it's like what you're saying about books as well, too, you know? If you've got a book that you've got to read really slowly, but you can have a gigantic three-dimensional set of writings that transform as you interact with them, or if the dream world is happening for you in that quick, fast, immediate experience that the quantum reality happens at, you don't want to go back to the slow stuff. You know? It's like if you've got a computer before... Do you remember having computers before internet? Who's as old as that? You know, our original computer at Wollongong Uni was the size of this entire building. And you type cards and stuck it in a machine, and then you type the wrong card. It was all rubbish. You know? And the original little computers that we had weren't connected to the internet, and they certainly didn't have Wi-Fi. So what you got was what was on the hard disk. So if you got something to ruin that hard disk, you wouldn't have got a hard disk, then you lost your computer. Whereas nowadays, computers are not only connected by cords. Computers and phones are connected by the field that they're in. So if the field is strong enough, this, and this is us, it doesn't just need this. It doesn't need a direct physical connection. It can be connected in the invisible reality of the electromagnetic field and use Wi-Fi. Okay? Which is what Swedenborg experienced. He stepped into that experience of self, which is like being like this. When you go back and read it, it's quite a challenge. But eventually he settles into it too. And he starts to realize then that there are places, they do change instantly, his clothes can change instantly, but there's also more and more solidity to it. There's more and more solidity to the people as well. And it's almost like he's actually then slowly allowed to return to this sense of identity, of a meanness. It isn't just, it's not me, it's the spirits are thinking me, and when I wake up, the spirits told me they were thinking what I was thinking, or I'm thinking what they're thinking. And when you read that original spiritual diary stuff, it sounds really difficult to comprehend. He eventually settles into it. And eventually, even though people are like spirits who are emissaries that can come and talk and think they're doing the talking, when in reality it's the society behind them that's talking, the movement between that actually happens in this world too. It actually happens when poets and mystics and other people like that go, it didn't come to me, it's not mine, but as Martin Buber says, it won't happen by me, but it won't happen without me. And artistic people are aware of that sense of not being in control of who they are. Mozart, I've got some nice quotes from Mozart. When Mozart talks about when he was out walking, he'd get all these images and pictures, and the sounds had come to him. And then he said, suddenly, they all come together like a picture of a beautiful youth. And I knew that I had it. You know? He said, where it comes from, I don't know. It's not mine. Van Dusen says the same thing. Influx. Where it comes from, I don't know. People saw Silence of the Lambs and Anthony Hopkins. I read a lovely little quote from him. When he learns his lines, he says, I get the script and I go through it with two coloured pens. I do four one colour, the fifth another colour. I do that for 30 lines and then keep it those lines until I learn them. Then I go to the next. Now I go to the next. And he said, all of a sudden, if I keep doing that, I'll get an image of the character. For example, he says, with Silence of the Lambs, I got this image of a man with cat-like eyes that doesn't blink and slick back hair, and I knew I had it. And he knows that that's not... So artists are aware of like that sense of influx, and they don't know it, but they're surfing it. And eventually that's what Swedenborg, I believe, became more and more aware of, that angelic beings were aware of being both themselves and not themselves. Which is in the Tibetan Book of the Dead, where it says, when you discover the voidness of your mind to be Buddhahood, and at the same time your consciousness, you dwell in the divine mind of the Buddha. Swedenborg said it in Divine Providence, I think it's 42 or 43, where he says, the more we become the Lords, the more clearly we become fully who we are. So this is a beautiful paradox, and Swedenborg walked through that, not only with himself, but in the land of spirit that he went into, till eventually the book that probably it inspires me the most in many ways is Conjugal Love or Love in Marriage, where now he goes on journeys. Angels come and say, it's going to be a long walk. We're heading through a big forest. And he gets there and people go, where have you come from? No one ever comes here anymore, you know? And so there's really this sense of me again, or identity, but it's the holy. It's like the spiritual program or the celestial program is now able to be paradoxical and be more fully itself and at the same time know it's not and accept that challenge. And we see it in a field phenomena way. The sort of temptations and the good things that are happening are a bit like how we go on the internet or what we pick up on this. It'll either pick up good or bad. And unlike this, where you can choose where it goes to, for us in the field of being a human being, as Swedenborg says, we are constantly connected to dark and light so that we can choose. We can have choice. You know? So we're not like dolphins in a morphogenic field. We actually are beings being transformed into the paradox of knowing that we are totally the Lord's, and at the same time, more fully ourselves. What a wonderful psychological experience and journey. So, there we are. I think that's probably enough, and stop and see if you've got 5 minutes for any questions or comments. I did get excited by the end. I thought I might. Thank you for listening to me, because you need an audience to sort of let all the influx come through. I tried doing this at home, but it's not the same. Any comments or questions?
That's sort of one comment that I picked up, is that not only are we more fully ourselves the more we connect with the Lord, it's that the more we reference ourselves outside of ourselves, it's also the more we connect with others, that the more we connect with others, the more we are aware of ourselves. And of course, through that, the Lord. But it's really interesting with that connection, the sense of really being aware of your own inner self, not self being self-conscious, but being aware of.
Yeah, it's like inner and outer together.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Lovely.
Yeah, too. Question about, and the stuff that the research that went on in the 60s and 70s around dreams and deep experiences and even LSD, mescaline, and what that could teach us about ourselves. Is it that it got to a point where we couldn't get any more out of that, we couldn't get any more knowledge, and then you look to, say, the writings, and yeah, you bridge, you make that bridge between those two areas of study, and the writings then take us to where, you know, we can really go, where we're really going. Mm-hmm. Is it the fact that happened with that kind of research in the 60s and 70s?
I think that's true. I think just the way Swedenborg looked at the cycle of most ancient, and, you know, Israeli and all the way through, I think that's happened overall in, like, our, and, you know, most ancient church, those sort of things. I think that's happened in a way even with physics, psychology, and spirituality. Because if you go back to the ancient traditions, the Hindus had the whole lot together. They didn't see boxes of spirituality and physics and psychology. They had all that combined. They didn't separate them out. And so there's been a whole psychological movement whereby Freud came along and told us about these inner experiences. The behaviorists didn't like that, so they said, no, we're just going to look at behavior. So for a while, psychology, or the study of the soul, became only about studying behavior, the physical. And then it became cognitive behavior therapy, studying cognitions. And then it had the 70s with transpersonal psychologies and New Age movements cycling back around. And some of the early people that brought that in was like Jung and Asad Jolly. But believe it or not, the first psychologist to bring, well, you would believe it, the first psychologist to bring this in is Swedenborg. And then Evelyn Underhill and William James, Henry's son, who was a Swedenborgian. You know, and so there's been a movement in psychology in our society, so that now the book that we use at Wollongong Uni in Mental Health, the Handbook of How to Work with Anxiety Disorders Using Cognitive Behavior Therapy, has its last chapter on the spiritual aspects of working with anxiety. And there are now Christian and spiritual and Buddhist parts of the Australian Psychological Society. And psychologists now embracing mindfulness and these other ideas. So I think, Patrick, that's part of the current modern-day psychological history, where we'd split it off and said, spiritual over here, secular here, you know, the Middle Ages, Occam's razor, that's it. See, because the church has got all this money, so you go over there, leave this one, and we'll have all the land. We'll take the money off you, please, because you don't need anything spiritual. And I want to have 8 wives anyway, so, you know, Henry VIII did a lot of that originally. But no, I think truly now there's a very big New Age rebirth return to psychological services seeing the importance of spirituality. It's still new, it's not exploded. Very much. I think that was a step in it, mate, which is what you're saying. I would argue that as well. Any other final comments before we go to dinner? I've got 1 minute, two minutes left. Is that enough?
Yeah.
Money is good.